And tomorrow we'll try to do some of the Birkas Asher Bara and Shasimcha Bemono issues. And we still have to do base Kasanim and Panim Chadashos and some of the individual brachos, but we'll do our best. Okay. Again, just a final couple of comments on the nature of Birchas Chasanim during Shivas Mei Mishta, and especially Rambam Shita as we've been discussing it. So Yakir just brought to my attention something interesting. I'm just not quite sure what to make of it, and that is that when it, in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus, again, since we've been examining the Rambam Shita very, very carefully, so sometimes you find, you know, when you're very sensitive to the differences, sometimes you find more things. So he just noticed that when it comes to Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus, there the Rambam mostly presents, as does the Gemara, that there are six brachos, right? That's and then later on in Perek Yud, the Rambam adds, there's a bar pri agafe. If you have wine, just as if you have a hadas, the wine obviously is even more central. That's why it's also in Yushalmi. That you add that as well. A torah devarich brachas chasan in the beis achasan kadam nisun v'heim sheish brachos v'heim lohem. And then he has here v'im haya sham yayin is halakha dalid v'vin kos shel yayin u'mavarech al yayin tchila m'sadres kulin ala kos v'nim sa mavarech sheva brachos. Then Yesh Makomos, Shadagul Lahavi Hadas, many Sfardim do that as well. And however, in Hilos Brachos, Perik Beis, there the Rambam mentions Sheva Brachos, just across the board. Right, so that's, I'm not quite sure what to make of it. There might be a very simple explanation, it might be two simple explanations, but it's just an interesting thing to note. Did you want to say something more about it? Did you come up with some suggestion about it, or just the Ha'ara itself? Okay. So I think that there are two things to say about it very quickly. Again, this is Perek Beis Halacha Yud, and here the Rambam just says right away that So again, the there could be two very simple explanations, and one of course is that even though it's out of order, but it's not really out of order. Hilchos Brachos comes before Hilchos Ishus, but obviously the main venue for treating this topic is really Hilchos Ishus, and that's where the Rambam explains, you know, the relationship between the sixth and the seven. And here he's just, you know, summing up and telling you usually in the seven. Moreover, there might be a very simple explanation, even simpler than that, and that is that this is in the context of Birchas Hamazon, right, and the Su'uda. And of course, there's a Birchas Hayayin. Birchas Hayayin is the framework here. So even though again it's out of sequence, because as you know, in the context of the meal in Birchas Hamazon, we make the Birchas Hayayin afterwards rather than before, and that's still the case, no matter what. So maybe it's just, you know, it's omnipresent. It's always here, whereas in Perek Yud. So, but I'm not sure. Maybe there's something more to it. It's hard to know. We did speak earlier in the year about the fact that the Bari Pri Agafen and the Yayin is more Mivusas in Birchas Nisuin, for example, than it is in Birchas Erusin. And I believe we talked then about the issue that some of the Achronim raise, including the Pnei Yoshua, you know, about the problem of Bracha Levatala, because the Masada Kedushin makes the Bracha, and he doesn't usually drink, and there's this whole, I think we mentioned it then, this whole, story about Reb Chaim and spilling it on his fingers, and, you know, some people report it that, I think that Fikei Yam reports it that way, and then others say, no, it happened. So, either way, you don't have that in Birchas Nisuin. No one thinks, well, in Birchas Nisuin, you don't have the issue either, mostly because the person who's in Bar Goffin does some of the drinking. But there's more of a foundation for Bori Priagafen and Birchas Nisuin than there is in Birchas Erusin. So I don't know whether or not that's like a Pesach to start thinking, you know, about the difference between Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Ishus beyond the two things that I just said. But anyway, it's a ha'ara, and it's something that that deserves thinking about. Again, just to emphasize what I said a couple of times already, and that is that it's interesting that the Rambam only brings in the need for a minyan, etc., when he speaks about the full complement. That we'll soon see is a machlokas, a big machlokas of Rishonim between the Ramban on one side, who says that Asher Bara, even without Panim Chadashos, requires a minyan, whereas the Ran and the Tosas Rid, we'll see, not today, but hopefully tomorrow, possibly for two opposite reasons, are convinced that Asher Bara does not require a minyan of Tehillim. We'll talk about it actually today also, because we want to finish up the discussion of the minyan. So again, it's very meduyak in the Rambam that the Rambam only mentions the minyan when he speaks about the full complement of the brachos, and then he says of achasan min a minyan. Also, just if we didn't make it clear before, when we were talking about the hagdara of panim chadashos during obviously Shavuos Yemei Mishta, so one of the main things that we were focusing on was the question of im kvar az kvar, meaning it's a problem. If the Rambam really believes that, if the Rambam really believes that, you know, the brachos on the chup and the brachos in Shavuos Yemei Mishta, ha'ilchu de'kai v'ha'ilchu de'kai, they're different mechayvim, and that's, you know, one of the things we've been trying to build up and try to demonstrate. So how can it be that the Hagdara of Panim Chadashos depends on the Zman of the Chuppah, right? Mimanavshach. And that's kind of what we were trying to answer. No, that's exactly the point. That's the difference between, you know, having this other group and having the same people. That's Kufa, the point and the Ha'ara. So if I didn't make it clear, let me just add one other point, and that is there are two issues that Mefarsh have with the Rambam. Right. One is, why is the definition connected to Panim Chadashos, Mimanavshach, right? And that's kind of what the Ramach is saying. And you could just add, well, it's seemingly even more for the Rambam, and that's how we answer it. Fine. But there's also the second problem that the Mefarshim and the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and that is that they say, listen, even if you think that you need kind of Panim Chadashos for Shiva Simei Mishta, you know, per se, but the first day is always Panim Chadashos, because that's a new experience, the first new Seuda. So why isn't that? And that there are many Rishonim who basically say that even if you define Panim Chadashos, you know, in terms of who was at the Chuppah, right? But still, the first meal, or maybe even the first day, that's not going to require separate Panim Chadashos, because that's a new dimension and a new experience, you know, in its own right. Right. So just again, to make it clear, that's also for sure not a problem for the Rambam, because the whole point here is that the default for the Rambam is Asher Bara, and without Panim Chadashos. So the only, you know, point, that the only reason you ever repeat the Sheva Brachos for the Rambam is because you're reenacting the wedding Bishvilam. You know, everything is perfect in the Rambam. So of course, that's going to determine not only that it depends on the chuppah, but that there's no separate, independent hagdara of panim chadashos for the suda, like the other rishonim. That would be, you know, completely unacceptable. Moreover, when we talk about panim chadashos, we'll document these views. But there's a big debate among the rishonim when you do need panim chadashos during Shiva Simei Mishta. You know how to define panim chadashos, both in terms of quality and scope. So let me just mention a couple of this just quickly. For example, it depends. You can have Panim Chadashos for the whole day. In other words, if you have Panim Chadashos for the night, you know, that extends also in any meals that you, you know, have during the day. Whether the person is there or not there, that's also an issue. But let's assume, forget that part of it even, but let's say, even if he's there, right? Never mind if he's not there. So that's an interesting idea. What do we think about that for the Rambam, right? Or the Hagos Bamunios here, quote, again, we'll talk about all these things, in the name of Chachmin Rabona, a shita which I particularly like, and that is that, you know, Panim Chadashos doesn't have to be the people who weren't at the Chuppah. It's quite the opposite. It's the people maybe who came in specially for the Chuppah, and or whose presence, is a particular added dimension of simcha and honor, like the mechubadim, you know, who come in. This is the, That's one of them. This is also Nagos Mamunios of Bishlo Bo Achirim, Rak Osim Shabo Meetmal, Verabe Nerbona, Pirshu Yik Panim Kadashas Klomar, Ima Panim Kadashas Shabo, Lukhupa Odam, Sham Shalahalach, Echad Mehem, Mevarach Likulu. He says that the contrary, it's like the whole wedding party or the special people who came in, none of them have left yet. The question is, how many do you need? Do you really need all of them? Right, afilu kol hazayin yamim uvad shelo halach adam yosan shebo lechvod achupa avlim holcholo. These are very like inspirational shitas. Anyways, they have a lot to do. That may have to do with reenactment a little bit. You know, you can keep running the video if the main people are there, right, to be in the new versions, but or it's just a shir in simcha. But these various shitos and more. Let's talk about Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, etc. And wherever you draw the line in terms of that, but you know, the Bali Tosis based on the Medrash, Halacha, we do this, you know, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, the question about Shalosh Shudas, a question about Purim, all sorts of, you know, other interesting questions that come up. Maybe you don't need Panim Chadashos because you know, that is Panim Chadashos Bo'olakan. I like to explain that partially what's meant by that also. In addition to the added element of simcha is again the juggernaut theory, which is that, you know, these two things coming together is a unique thing. And also just the first experience of a chasan and kalav, their first Shabbos together as a married couple, or their first Yom Tov, etc., is that's also a new experience that which spills over as a dimension in the simcha. Anyways, all of these things very good and very fine. The point I want to make very quickly is that for the Rambam, none of this is going to work. None of it. Not the Rabbanitz Narbona, not, you know, one per day, and not, you know, Shabbos and Yom, and in Ochanami, none of it appears in the Rambam. The only thing that appears in the Rambam is the Bishvilam and the actual people who weren't there. And again, all of this is totally Lishitaso if we really understand that this is what's going on with the Rambam. Again, this part of it you could have said even if it was Sheva Brachos, but even if, you know, the default was that, but certainly, again, this contrast between, you know, what it is per se, the definition Asher Bara, and what changes when there's Panim Chadashos, is going to change all of these things. So none of this is going to be shy for the round. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And then, just going back to what we talked about yesterday, to clarify that a little more, so then the question of how many, or again, if it's the dimensions of simcha, or experiences of the chasan and the kala, and so on, so you could still argue, is one person enough, maybe you need two, you know, etc. But this idea of possibly requiring two already is a chiddush, requiring 10, you know, is just, you know, incredibly remarkable, that chiddush of the Taz. So we should just note a couple of things, and that is that in the tshuva of the Rambam and Rambam, they also consider this possibility based on the reading that you guys suggested in terms of how to read the language. We understood that. But the Rambam also considers this possibility of 10. He rejects it for the reason that I rejected it, although I wasn't so strong on that. Namely, that if that's the case, why is Chasan min haminyan? So this is just in the Sefer Likutim here in the back. You have to have a quote of the Tshuva, or Tshuva Rambam Siman Pei Vav. Ve'inyan panim chadashos bebeis chasan nimnir b'divreichem shesavartem shemash amar abba mori Abamori, the Chibur, the Hushi Asar, Shu, Panam Chadashos Asara, the Ozi Varchu, Zain Brachos, Bibirzamaza, the Zesh Shibush, the Fishu Hulon, the Skavin Baamra, the Hushi Asara, Elishu Hanesafim, the Bracha Asara, Shari Amar, the Hassanim in Aminya, the Hassanim Enum Panam Chadashos, Flalushodabar, Kishanesafim, Lechol, the Base Hassanim Asara, Afabisha Karsanim Bechal Aminya, right, Mibarchim Birkas Hassan, Biming, Sham Panam Chadashos, Mibarchim Asher Bara, Dimay Panim Chadashos Bechlalo Asar Mivarchin Zayin Brachos Vekamei Panim Chadashos Mekubal Me'abamari Shehu Lo Pachos Mishnayim Ki Panim Lashon Rabim. This is what you were mentioning to me, that Panim really isn't really Lashon Rabim, because Panim is
is the way we say Pani.
V'pachos shel rabim, but it does sound in the language of the Rambam, not just panim, but the Rambam does speak about heim. So that, I don't know why he doesn't focus on that. L'fi halacha shnayim, la'omrim miyud rabim shnayim. V'keim b'gur v'lachibor, la'omra aval im hayu ha'ochelim acherim, mashmos acherim rabim v'lukol ha'pachos shnayim. The Zulat Abamari Svurim Shafilo Echad Shupanim Chadashos Mevarchim Biglalo Zayin Brachos. Behuzak Zatzukol Lo Hiskim Lazeh. So basically, Rav Roman Rambam had the Hava Mina of Ten. He rejected it for the Chasanim in a Minyan. To me, the Chasanim in a Minyan isn't really decisive. I just think because that's the whole point is that, you know, you can't, the idea that, you know, you're reenacting, so you have, you know, the Ten are with the Chasan, and we'll get back to that in just a second as well. But you should know that, A, there are two things that emerge. Number one, he had this Hava Mina but rejected it. Number two, he says, you know, if not for the language of the of my father, we certainly would have said one, and we're sufficing with two. But again, the Taz holds its way, and that's very prominent, and I think some of you were showing me afterwards that some of the Achron, that, who showed me the Tshuva of Adjasef? Mention that to me? Jason? Yeah, then the Tshuva of the Abi Omer, he actually believes this. He quotes a Taz, but he actually thinks that really is the Pshat in the Rambam. And, you know, this is really a big discussion in the Mefarshim. So it's absolutely sensational to think that it could be 10. But interestingly, in some of the Tshuvas, I think they showed me Rabbi Menashe Klein, also the Tshuva, Mishnah Halachos, where he says, well, maybe if it's 10, then maybe it would be enough to have 6 out of the 10. So that's really interesting too. The way he formulates it, I thought was very interesting in light of what we were discussing. He says, after all, when you have a Dover Shebikdusha and you require 10, you can always get away with 6 of 10. So the reason that's interesting, of course, there are two, I mean, you could just say it's very innocuous, he didn't mean it that way. What he meant was, when you need 10, you get away with 6 out of 10, because that's basically, he did a Rubo Kikulo. Right? But if we take literally what he said, which is, you know, the comparison to Davar Shebikdusha, so that would be like a further element in the Gaonim idea that this really is a din in Davar Shebikdusha. That's why you require 10. So that's why maybe 6 out of 10 as well. That would be quite interesting. But again, if certainly this highlights the Tzibur approach, even if it's not a Davar Shebikdusha, meaning the idea of the Rambam definitely highlights that too. Yeah.
Maybe the Rambam is talked about in Marna Hukka and it requires
piercing. Well, that's what we were talking about. But again, I think the Rambam requires piercing for the as we said in for the chuppah. He doesn't say required for the brachos. Although I'm suggesting that he got it for the brachos. That's what I said. I suggest that yesterday, basically. Meaning, if you put together the Rambam's comment in Marna Hukka, even though I'm trying to conceptualize it a little more than he has it there in terms of what the piercing is for, which I stand by, but it's not a small thing that there are two things to say about the Rambam. Number one, that the Rambam deduced this din that you require 10 for the chuppah, or that you require piercing for the chuppah from the brachos, which I have to connect with the role that he thinks that Birchas Chasanim play under the chuppah. But I see. You're saying that that would also work well if you'd say that he needs 10 new panim chadashos. So it's a far same for them also. Interesting. Maybe. I guess the only issue with that is it's already mefursam once you have 10. So meaning.
I thought there was no chiyuv, but the only way you could have.
But each time you're reenacting, you have to do the piercing again anyway. Okay, nice. Okay, very good. Either way, what the Rambam did there was, he assumed that piercing is a din in the chuppah, not just in the brachos, and I think he did that by means of the brachos, the role the brachos play. And also, again, the Rambam ends up telling us that piercing, which is in the Gemara for Mezakeh Le'ubar and other things, is a model and an explanation for the brachos. Very good. So if you hold like the Tshuva Sataz, then that'll work in nicely too. But either way, this is important. So in light of that, I just want to add one other thing, just talk about that for a minute, and that is Two other things, very quickly. The difference between, David asked me after Shir about the difference between, you know, why is the Avel Eino Min HaMinyan and the Chasan is Min HaMinyan. So a little bit, we have to still look at the Gemara on Ches, bottom of Ches Amid Aleph and Ches Amid Beis, but I think that partially what they're getting at is the following idea. I mean, basically, there are, especially, let me just add, in light of the Rambam and Rambam's Ha'ara, which is, oh, if you really think that that's what, you know, Father meant, then Chasanim and Aminyan should be a problem. And I don't think, you know, that it sounds that way in the Rambam, but I don't think that that should be a problem. So I think this becomes like even a more interesting question, right? In light of that comment of Rambam and Rambam. Or for the Taz, in light of the comment of Rambam and Rambam. But I still think that there are two directions that you could, you know, take in confronting this question. One is the Avelus side, and the other is the Chuppah side. You could take either, but I think, you know, we're all inclined to think that we should probably take both, meaning the contrast between the two. So on the either side, just to start, with regard to Avel, at minimum, I think what we could say, and I think this is what the Gemara is struggling to say, on Amud Beis, is that, you know, Nichum Avelim, etc., isn't Nichum Ima Avelim, it's Nichum Esso Avelim. We're Menachem Esso Avelim, Oso, we're Menachem Oso, we're not Menachem Imo. As we discussed, even, you know, when we talk about Ba'apa, Neho Gavelusa, right, for Krovim, and we talked about the parameters of that, and whether it's just, you know, Kavod, you know, Ha'avel, or it's some form of actual Avelus, you know, given that that dynamic, or and that, you know, moment, and that context, which I think is a very, we established that really is a Shita, and that's a very intriguing Shita, but even then, it's Ba'apa Neho Gavelusa. There's still a gap, and it's still betoras, or partially at least betoras, being menachem es, rather than being misnachem, you know, im. And that's certainly even more true, as David reminded me yesterday, and I totally agree, in light of the discussion of the Rush, notwithstanding the critique of the Taz. Meaning the Rush who explained that the reason that the Gemara thinks that maybe Mitztayer applies David to an Avel is why? The Hava mean that Mitztayer applies to an Avel in the case of Sukkah, and therefore he should put him in a Sukkah, is because... Sorry? No, that's the Taz, that's basically... the discussion would between the Rush and that, meaning because basically he doesn't want to be in the sukkah with everybody else. He wants to be alone, you know, to, I wouldn't say wallow, but at least to, you know, to give full expression to his sense of, you know, of loneliness. And not just aloneness, but loneliness. So that's where the Taz says, well, that can't be what's going on, because otherwise there would be no Nichum Avelim, because it would be inflicting pain on him, because he wants to, you know, be immersing himself in this sense of suffering. So what I was trying to explain was that that's the dialectic of Avelus, meaning he's supposed to feel and outlet his sense of loneliness, and we're supposed to, you know, be bringing him back, you know, slowly but surely, and there's no stira between those two things. But anyway, the point is that this is the idea that, you know, Ein Avelim, you know, Min HaMinyan, in some respects at least, highlights that, you know, sense of, you know, you can't, and maybe you shouldn't, and certainly from his point of view, you know, you don't accomplish, you know, really integrating with him, being mishtate. You're maybe mishtate b'tzarasan a little bit, but mostly you're being menachem oso, as I say, rather than emo, or you're not really, you know, you're maybe mishtate, but definitely... you don't become integrated with him fully. On the other hand, when it comes to the chasan, right, the opposite is true, right? Rasameach, you know, imachasan, not just esachasan, And you know, the whole idea of, you know, Kalam Sameach Chasan V'Kala, you know, that obligation, the Dine Simchas Chasan V'Kala, Shishpin, all these things really highlight that you really can and are supposed to, you know, identify with the experience of the Chasan and Kala. Not just be Sameach them, but be Sameach with them, be Mishtatev in the Simcha. And if that's the case, so obviously that is enhanced even much more when we consider that, you know, there may be a tzibur component to it, as we've been explaining, you know, in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, all the things that we've been explaining. So basically it's Klal Yisrael Simcha. And again, in that ha'ara that some of the achronim make, which is that an avel comes to shul and doesn't say tachnun, but the tzibur does, but the chasan who comes to shul and doesn't say tachnun, right, the entire tzibur is exempt with him, shows that, you know, both this tzibur component and also the idea that we're misameach with the chasan and the kala. Again, it's yontov didei v'dida, true, but it also spills over into other people, individuals, and even into a tzibur-oriented, you know, fest. So the idea that, you know, even according to this pshat in the Rambam, you know, that you require a tzibur in order to justify panim chadashos and reenactment, that even then you might say chasan and min aminyan, I think emerges as a forceful view. Notwithstanding Rabbi Avraham and Rambam's critique. Again, I happen to think Rabbi Avraham and Rambam is right about the Rambam in this, although I'd like the other way to be correct, but not necessarily because you can't overcome the chasanim min aminyan. And finally, having said this, so one more point about avadim, ketanim, and nashim. So as we noted, that's also one of the chilukim. The Rambam mentions avadim, ketanim, excludes them both in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishos and in Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos. In Hilchos Ishos, he excludes them on the basis of not being mitzaref to the minyan. Right? There's no discussion there even about the possibility of them making the bracha. In Hilchos Brachos, the other Rambam excludes them from making the bracha. There he says nothing about being mitzaref to a minyan. So what I was suggesting was that the different treatment, again, is based on, you know, these different mechaidim, and especially it's part of the same diuk, lemaisa, that there is no minyan when you have the typical, the norm of Shivas Nei Mishta and Asher Baruch. Okay, and again, we're going to see very, very strong contrast to this in some of the Rishonim, especially the Ran, you know, who think that, you know, Asher Baruch is maybe not even Birchas Chasanim, and, you know, Ad Kedei Kach, they think that the norm of Birchas Chasanim is all seven. That's kind of the argument of the Ran, even against the Ramban, regarding the Minyan issue, which we'll get back to. Either way, so this is one of the contrasts that we noted. Okay. But I just wanted to add that the this is an interesting issue that is discussed a little bit more in some of the Mefarshim. And I wanted to add two of them. Number one, the Rabbeinu Manoach. So Rabbeinu Manoach, when he talks about the exclusion of Avadim and Ketanim in Hilchos Brachos, Rabbeinu Manoach, you know, is always says mechudash things. One second. By the way, I should add that the Rabbeinu Manoach in Halacha Yud completely rejects what I said. He talks about panim chadashos for the Rambam. He says, "Hainu panim chadashos." The Ika Da'amri, unless his Ika Da'amri is not the Rambam, panim chadashos mikri kishelo achlu sham ad achshav af bisha shomo brachos b'shas nesuin kivin shekarom liso netzol chasan kivin shemosif simcha. V'hu adin afil lo karu el adam echad hushi adam chashiv shachasan all the things that I said shouldn't apply for the Rambam, the Rebbeinu Menachem implies does. But anyways, that aside. So when it comes to the din of Ketanim and Avadim, so Rebbeinu Menachem says as follows: B'davka b'nei chor negedolim d'lo gri zayin brachos in birchas chasanim k'di isa le'el. Okay, number one, meaning he tries to equate what the Rambam writes in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, with what he writes in Perek Beis, which I'm suggesting might be different. And then he adds, "V'hoda sari alfinan la'mikra." Second, am I missing this here? No. Okay, I'm sorry. It's in Halacha Tess, I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Lo avanu velo ketanim. The kivin de bechol osa bracha. Shrei ein omer mosa el hechadika zimun. Okay, so the first line, Rabbeinu Manoach, is basically, in my opinion, to downplay the significance of excluding avadim and ketanim, that it has to do with dine zimun, has nothing to do with Birchas Chasan. Okay, so that it's disconnected from Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, is clear, but that part of it phenomenologically, but for a totally different reason. I mean, for a reason that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. But then he adds, Umistabra, the Huadin, Nashim. If it's Midin, the exclusion of Zimun, then Nashim are included together with Avadim and Ketan. But then he adds, "V'yesh lomar davadim uketanim kivin dilastayu b'toras kiddushin v'nisuin ein mavarchin bracha zu." So that's quite interesting. In other words, it has nothing to do with zimun, or not only to do with zimun, but it has to do with the appropriateness of them participating in birchas nisuin. So then, of course, if you were to still distinguish between Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, and Perek Brachot, that would be very important. But then, of course, the implication is that what about Nashim? Right? Is there an opening that Nashim could make these Brachos? L'halacha, we certainly don't think so. But it's interesting to consider whether or not that would have been a possibility. So in the back here, again, in the Sefer Likutim, which I was looking at for the other reason, in Hilchos Brachos, he has further discussion of this, and he says as follows: Umizeh raya ledas chelkas mechokek. Chelkas mechokek and simin samak beis. If cotton hay explains that in general. Avadim and Ketanim are not mitzarif lezimun. That's what Rabbeinu Manoach suggests is the basis for the Rambam is something that the Chelkas Mechokek, spells out as well. Then he adds Upele Shelohevi Divra Rabbeinu Kan. How come the Chelkas Mechokek didn't quote the Rambam? So basically, again, this is the discussion. Basically, he's rejecting the first day of Rabbeinu Manoach, and by extension, the Chelkas Mechokek, that the problem of Avadim and Ketanim is a problem of being mitzarif lezimun. Instead, he thinks that what the Rambam is talking, the reason Chelkas Mechokek didn't quote the Rambam is because that's not what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is talking about the inappropriateness of making the bracha per se. Oh. Dehevet hava ina mitzuva, dehena mechuyva piriya verivya, the katan lo shaya chinuch, the osir isa, osir lahasa isha la katan. So then he says, but if that's the case, the gam kain ena mitzarfim, the fi de isha hi bar chiyuva, af shena mitzuva al piri of a ribya, Bikomokum kosavaran breish perkaish makadesh the yeshla mitzvah kedusha mitzad mesayis labal. So the question of nashim, he basically thinks depends on whether or not women are included in the mitzvah of kiddushin, as we know, or nesuin. That really is a big machlokas, how to interpret that sugya in the beginning of the second parak of kiddushin. So he presents it here as women are included, and therefore, in theory, from this point of view, they would be acceptable to be make a bracha, if not for other reasons, maybe. But the truth is that there are a number of Rishonim who think that women are, you know, there's Bo Yosef and Bishlucha, but she's not Mechuyeves directly in the mitzvah of Kiddushin either. Okay, so but that's a Deya here in the Achronim that he's quoting, that maybe women could make a bracha. But then he quotes another Shita. He says, but according to the Bach and Simon Samach Beis has a very famous discussion where he says that whenever at a wedding there's a mixed seating, if the men and women are sitting together, so there should be a problem of saying Sha Simcha b'ma'ono. Mostly we're not choshesh for this Bach, but it's very well known that b'mokum tarovas anashim v'nashim ein levarech Sha Simcha b'ma'ono. So he adds, and this again goes on our next list, v'yadua ki birchas asher bara v'sha Simcha b'ma'ono chadahi. Meaning, if the reasoning is, if you assume that the Bach is correct and that Asher Bara and Shasimcha B'mono go together, so then women would be excluded as well. Okay. But B'pashtus, it has to do with other factors. Anyways, depending on how you understand. You know, the nature of the Mechayiv here, which we'll speak more of, you're going to understand Avodim and Ketanim and Noshim differently. And again, you have to revisit whether or not Siruf, either to the Zimun or to the Minyan, and making the Bracha are the same issue or not. And that's what some of these Achronim are discussing. Okay, that is in terms of that. Let's now finish up our discussion of Asara. So we were discussing whether or not Asara is required as a Davar Shemikdusha, and the implications of that are really enormous. And then we had another little, perhaps, hint of that in terms of the, you know, the 6 out of 10, if that's connected to Davar Shemikdusha. Again, that's one model in the Sugya in Gila, and that's the view of the Gaonim. Or that it's based on Lav Orach Ara. Again, Eli correctly pointed out that, you know, the Gemara says Moshe, you know, Ma'amidu Moshe, and doesn't say that about Birchas Chasanim in Megillah. That's correct. I was just pointing out that there's a Machlokas Rishonim about Davar Shebekdusha, even though it's not clear in the Gemara where it ends and where it begins and where it ends. Similarly, I think the same is true with Orach Ara, and there are some Mefarshim who say it explicitly. The way we're explaining Lav Orach Ara is what I said the other day, which is that sometimes things are appropriate given a certain level of audience, and if not, it's either tircha de tzibura or maybe even a chucha utlula and a kind of a loig larash in a way, instead of, you know, accentuating how, you know, all of Klal Yisrael is sameach, or even how the people are sameach, you end up underscoring the fact that, you know, they can't get people to come, you know, to this party. Which is certainly not a good thing. There's a question about Zimun, whether Zimun and the requirement of Asara is based on Davar Shebekdusha or a kind of Lav Orach Ara. Partially, that also depends, not for now, on how you understand the, you know, the upgrading from 3 to 10, from, you know, Mevarech Elokeinu Shechalnu Mishalo Shem Hashem, and then the subsequent, you know, permutations of that in the Mishnah and Brachos. Are the difference between a Zimun of 3 and a Zimun of Yud qualitative? It's a Davar Shebekdusha. Or is it Orach Ara, basically? And there are probably very significant nafkamina regarding that. If it's what's Daraisa, what's Drabanan? Again, not for now. That's for 7th Parak of Brachos. Whether women ever could be included in the Minyan. Not a minion, but in that minion, in other words. what kind of foods you have to eat, whether there's a qualitative difference. The issue of shahakol is a particularly halacha l'maisa, a very big issue. You know, whether you're mechalek between you know, how much mezonos, how much shahakol could count between a zimun of 3 and a 10, right? L'halacha, this is a big debate. And, you know, the standard Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah, you know, they count, you know, shahakol, and the Rambam, you know, seem to not hold that way because of the relationship between 10 and 3. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that in the Sugya and Megillah, it's not clear, you know, which dinim are Davrusha Bekdusha, which dinim are Lav Orachara, and there would be significant enough gemina between them. If you're dealing with Lav Orachara, so there would be very important nafkamina in terms of Birchas Chasanim, as we already alluded to, and as we'll get back to, both with regard to Asher Bara, even if it is a Birchas Chasanim, as well as whether or not B'dieved, the 10 are going to be Ma'akev or not. The Sugya there also has a possibility of relating to Pirsum. As we know, that's a big issue in Megillah, and the requirement of a minyan shelo b'yom dalid. I mentioned the requirement of 10 in Kiddush Hashem, the requirement of 10 in the context of spreading certain psakim, our sugya. And as we noted already, the Rambam and Mor Nebuchim, even if we, you know, expand on it, which I think we should, but the fact that he associates Pirsum with the requirement of 10, albeit as a din in the chuppah, as well as the brachos, or maybe interchangeably, also focuses on pirsum. And then it was mentioned yesterday also that Tosas Rid and Daf Ches speaks about Berovam Hadras Melach. Berovam Hadras Melach would seem to work well with the Mechayiv of Birchas Shevach V'Hoda. Right? If we're talking about Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, so then there's a notion of Berov Hadras Melach. Okay. So lemay nafkamina, all these things. So some of we said. Number one, question of nashim. As I say, in Zimun and in Kriyas HaMegillah, the possibility of counting nashim is considered by the poskim. Most reject, but some of them consider it. In Birchas Chasanim, the Ritva explicitly rejects nashim. And as I say, in the Rambam, we have explicit rejection of avadim and ketanim. You know, both for the minyan in Perek Hilchos Ishus and for the Amiras HaBracha in Hilchos Brachos, and there's some discussion in the poskim, as we discussed, regarding Nashim. The Halacha L'maisa, clearly, it's not accepted to do that, but it's an interesting theoretical issue, at minimum. So that's one. Obviously, for dealing with Davrusha B'Kedusha on any level, both in terms of Amira or Tziruf, L'minyan, then women are certainly going to be excluded. If we're talking about Stam Pirsum or Barovam Hadras Melach, then, you know, it's something to consider. And here again, you might be mechalik between saying the bracha and being considered for the minyan. A more intriguing question is b'diavad if there is no minyan. Like, let's say you wanted to go ahead with a chuppah without asar. Could you do that or not? So pretty much everybody thinks that you shouldn't. The question is if you did, or if there's some strong counter pressure and you must. So, based on the Rambam Shita, which we've discussed extensively, which is that b'di'eved, the brachos, are not ma'akev, so most of the poskim say, well, b'di'eved, you know, if you have to do a chuppah, when you don't have a minyan, just don't make the brachos. Right? Sometimes that can happen, by the way. Strange and emergency situations can arise, and you know, sometimes you end up having to make a chuppah without a minyan, and most of the poskim think that, you know, as long as you're not saying birchas chasanim, right, that would be okay. Ironically, it's not necessarily so simple for the Rambam, right, in light of that Mor Nebuchim. Right. That's a part of the Hagdara of Chuppah, even if it comes through Bracha, is the presence of or the creation of Pirsum. So again, the Rambam doesn't say that it has to be Dafka Minyan and so on, but at least it's something to think about, as we discuss. However, you know, that's from the perspective of the Rambam, that at least the brachos are not ma'akev. There's a tshuva of the Rashba where the Rashba seems to say that the brachos are ma'akev, which is fascinating anyway, right? It establishes a certain qualitative impact of the brachos, right? It's part of the hagdara of the chuppah, or it's ma'akev the chuppah. Clearly not a din in birchas ha-mitzvah, or even stam brachos shevach v'hodah. Again, the Rashba himself in the Chidushim doesn't seem to go that way, but in the Tshuva, he does. But if the Rashba thinks the brachos are ma'akev, right? But what does he think about the need for a minyan for the brachos? Is that only lechatchila, or is that also ma'akev? So that's where the Rashba was mechadesh his second chiddush. And that is that it's not ma'akev. And that's what the Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezra, which I wanted you to look at. Or is it Simon, what did I say, Samach Bei Zion? Repeats part of this discussion. Ein Ber Heitev. Masha kasav u b'diyeved eino ma'akev. Rotz l'omer b'diyeved she'ein shamasara lo bishvil ze yis'akev in yisuin el tinase b'lo brachos. Right? The brachos ein ma'akvos. Now that's what he's saying is that the minyan is ma'akev the brachos, but the brachos are not ma'akev the Nisuin, according to the Rambam. And that's the standard view, which we might want to challenge in light of Mordechai Buchan. Then he says, Ein Beishmul Sivkot and Dalet, Ein Tshuvas Nor Bi'uda, Al Dvar HaMesadek Kiddushin Shabirach Birchas Eirus and Birchas Nisuin Below Asara. The Kosav Ki Bevadai Hedyot Kazeh, right, Avon Plilihu, Shehelo Esek B'tiv Kiddushin. Right, it's based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, right? That if a person is not to baki b'tiv gitin b'kiddushin, ein lo esek imahem, famous Gemara. Havala kol zeh hakiddushin v'achupa gomru kinyanam v'afilo das harajba habrachos ma'akvos u'b'mokom she'en asara ein lasos nisuin v'komokom kan she'kvar birech Ela shalahaya shamasara zeinu ma'akev di'eved b'chol davar atzorech asara v'hevi rayos lozeh v'siyem d'bekomokom ein hefsed kasher yizdamim sham nisuin yamdu gamazug hazeh samuch l'chopa. So if you ever see, there's this recently married couple and they're hanging out near somebody else's chopa, you'll understand what's going on there, I guess. V'yichavnu lotzeis b'bracha she'yivarchu l'achasan v'akala ha'acherim. And then it says in parentheses, v'gam l'mavarech yichavin lotzeyam. Wow. You have to tell the chazan when he's doing that whole thing, that you should have Ploni and Plonis in mind too, the ones who are hovering. Anyways, this is a very interesting issue. And of course, if we're talking about this being a darsha b'kedusha, so the minyan really is ma'akev. But if we're talking about lav orech ara or baravam hadras melach or pirsum per se, the idea that that's lechatchila but not necessarily. But yeah, again, it's an open question. Again, baravam hadras melach certainly is not ma'akev, and lav orech ara. I mean, the only way to explain lav orech ara is going to be ma'akev. Is to explain it the way that I was explaining it. In other words, not that it becomes a tircha, but that it turns it, from something beautiful and inspirational into something, you know, sarcastic or cynical or ugly. So you get the opposite effect. In other words, no one's coming to this this wedding. You know, they invited 1,000 guests and they couldn't get a minyan, you know. So, oy vey, you know. So that, you know, kind of, you know, is demonstrative in a bad way. That would be the only way to explain that Lav Orech Ara could be Ma'akev, although I think it's something to think about. But certainly Barova Madros Melach is not Ma'akev. As for Pirsum, Pirsum might be Ma'akev. You could say, you know, is there a Miktsas Pirsum, less than 10, or 10 is the minimum Pirsum, right? Yeah. Itamar is suggesting that we need units of Pirsum even, perhaps, right? Go to the Rambam. That's how you'd say it? Units of Pirsum. Okay, so that's an interesting question, but this general issue is an interesting machlokes. Okay, what about standing? Before we get to standing, so just get back to Asher Barah for a second. So we talked about Nashim. We talked about the chorus. We talked about Nashim. Now we're talking about Bidiyeved. What about Asher Barah? So again, just to mention what I said, and we'll go back to it, is there is a debate between the Ramban against the Ran and the Tosas Rid, whether or not you need a minyan for Asher Barah. I would add the Rambam to that debate. I mean, the Rambam also seems to say you don't need a minyan for Asher Barah, if you ask me. And the question is how to understand that debate. So we're going to discuss tomorrow that might be a debate about the nature of Birchas Asher Barah. If you assume that both sides would agree that Birchas Asher Barah is a Birchas Chasanim, put it this way, we'll see tomorrow, if you haven't seen it already, the Ran really argues that Birchas Asher Barah is not Birchas Chasanim. And he strongly equates it with Shasimcha Demona. The Tosas Rid, however, thinks that it's the Birchas Chasanim. Okay? The Rambam, right, according to the way we're interpreting it, thinks that it is, in a way, also the Birchas Chasanim. So, the question is, for the Rambam and the Tosas Rid, there's an interesting issue. Can you say it without 10? Right? So, again, but we have to be a little careful here. So, for the Rambam, it still makes a lot of sense, especially in light of the Mor Nebuchadnezzar, that the 10 isn't just a din in the bracha, it's a din in the bracha which defines the chuppah. So how could you have a Birchas Chasanim with less? The answer is no, that's exactly, once again, that's exactly perfectly it. Namely, when you say all 7, and it's part of the Hagdara of the Chuppah, you know, so that Birchas Chasanim, that group of Birchas Chasanim, right, which is identical with what the Chuppah is, or defining the Chuppah, right, requires the Pirsum, which requires the 10. But per se, the Birchas Chasanim Ashbara of Shiva Simei Mishteh, that doesn't require, why does that require Pirsum? That has nothing to do with Pirsum. That's Birchas Shevach Vodah and Birchas Hamazon. Right? And there's no Lav Orech Ara either. On the contrary, this is the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to have this intimate family setting. You know, possibly without a minyan even. Certainly without anybody who's Panim Chadashos. You're just, you know, continuing to celebrate the wedding. Right? There's no Inyan of Pirsum. There's no Davar Shebe Kedusha. There's no, none of this applies. For the Tosas Rid, who we're assuming for the moment doesn't have the Rambam sheet at all, which he doesn't, we'll see from some of the Rayas, he doesn't believe in the Rambam sheet. Meaning, the norm of Shiva Simei Mishnah is the full complement. Asher Barah is when you don't say the full complement. So this pshat that we're now saying for the Rambam doesn't work. So it's an interesting question. So I would say it depends. If again, if you're talking about Davar Shebe Kedusha, for these, for Asher Barah as a standalone, or for the, you know, for the group when it's Panim Chadashos, so it should be Ma'akev B'diavad. should be ma'akev for asher bara too. Right, just because you're saying less, if it's a davar shebekdusha, it's a davar shebekdusha. If it's qualitatively the same thing, you don't have what you have for the Rambam, you know, the tremendous fall off. But if it's a din in lav orach ara, right, so then, ironically, or not ironically, it works out beautifully. What you could say is that, you know, very nice. You know, to say, you know, all of the Sheva Brachos, you know, and all that singing in between, you know, Shakol Bara Lechvodo, and Yotzer Adam, and Asher Yotzer, to do the whole full thing when there's not a minyan is Lav Orachara, in both of its meanings. But that's the whole point, is that, you know, that you're only saying Birchas Asher Bara, you're doing the abridged version. You're doing much less. So that's not a problem of Orach Ara. Right? So that would work very well according to the poster. But for the Rambam, I think it's just perfect. Okay. The question whether Birchas Erusin requires a minyan in light of this whole discussion is also something on the table. Again, the Rishonim who think that Birchas Erusin requires, and the Gaonim who think that Birchas Erusin requires a minyan, I do not say it independently. They do link it to the parallel requirement of Berchus Lisuin, and you know Hashem b'makor Yisrael, b'makelos berchu Elokim, Hashem b'makor Yisrael al iske makor. So whatever you're going to say about the Berchus Lisuin, you have to be able to apply to Berchus Erusin. Now Gufa, that could be the machlokas. Again, the machlokas could be a double machlokas. It could be a machlokas about the nature of, you know, Birchas Erusin and Erusin and its relationship to Birchas Nisuin and Nisuin. That already just takes care of the whole problem. And we've already discussed that. If we assume some greater affinity to begin with, so that maybe depends on the issue that we're talking about. Number one, it's perfectly clear that you don't need a minyan for Erusin. Right? Again, there was a takana made, you know, in the time of the Gonim and then later in Italy, and there was some suggestion that maybe Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddusha Minei would back up this takana. Again, they were worried about people, you know, kidnapping, you know, people trying to marry up in a caste society by, you know, kind of whining and dining and then, you know, absconding with, you know, these young, you know, wealthy heiresses, you know, eloping, I guess. So they made these takana, and they put a lot of teeth in it in terms of, you know, possibility of Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddusha Minei. But, having said that, the Pashtus, right, no one thinks that there's a din of a minyan for Erusin, per se, at least as far as I know. And the idea that Birchas Erusin would require a minyan, you know, is an interesting issue. Are you going to say that that's a davar shebekdusha? Well, it has, again, the nusach perhaps comparable to Kiddush, although Kiddush doesn't need a minyan. The point is that you have to consider several things in discussing whether Birchas Erusin qualifies for this requirement, and what that then reflects about Birchas Nisuin, where it came from. What about standing during these brachos? Okay. So the again, in terms of background, the Yerushalmi in Megillah does seem to say that whenever you have a davar shebekdusha, there should be amida, all things being equal, right? Shemone Esrei, Borchu, Kaddish, Kedusha. We're talking about you know, the slichos that you stand up for because the Aron Kodesh is open. We were saying no, it's just, you know, you're not standing up because the Aron Kodesh is open. The Aron Kodesh is open for the same reason that you're standing up, namely, it's a davar shebekdusha. So that really comes from the Yerushalmi and Megillah that says that amida is required for a davar shebekdusha, which we can totally understand. So again, if you were to take the view that Birchas Nisuin is an issue of davar shebekdusha, or Birchas Erusin for that matter, then you would require, presumably, amida. Again, whether you require amida of the Mevarchim, or even of the Tzibur, you know, would you have the whole Tzibur there standing in the wedding hall? No, maybe there are different rishos. Anyway, okay, something to think about. Anyways, Boaz, in the Boaz story, right, he said what? Shvu po, right? He told him to sit. But that's not proof necessarily, because we know that sometimes yeshiva means not sit, but ikva, you know, stay here. Right? Specifically, that's an exchange between who and who? Of the Rishonim in the famous passage? Itamar? Whose famous passage? What? Pretty famous. The Rambam and the Ravid. What? There's more than one? The Rambam and Ravid in Sukkah. Right? We say, they make the bracha leshe basukkah. Right? So the famous Rambam, the Rambam says, oh, we see from here that on Kiddush that you make on the night of, on the first night of Sukkot, you're supposed to stand up for Kiddush. It's a very famous Rambam for many reasons. Like one is that you see that the Rambam used to sit for Kiddush, generally. Right? But the Rambam says, even though you know, apparently he used to normally sit for Kiddush at night, nonetheless, when it came to Sukkah, he would stand. Right? That way he could make the bracha Leisha Basukkah over Lasiyasan, and then he would sit. So the Rambam was interpreting literally Leisha Basukkah as yeshiva. And the Ravid, if somebody has the language, the Ravid there says, what are you talking about? That's not, you know, that's not what we mean when we say leishev basukkah. Yeshiva doesn't mean sitting. Yeshiva means ikva, right? To spend time in the sukkah. And that's why, says the Ravid, you know, whatever you do for Kiddush, you do for Kiddush. It's nothing to do, you know, you could be sitting and make the bracha leishev basukkah, and it's still over lasiyasan. Moreover, says the Ravid, you make the bracha leishev basukkah in the context of achila basukkah, because that's more of a kviyus, right, of ikva basukkah. I'm just giving that, that's an example where the Rambam and Ravid debate whether the language of shavu or leishev literally means sitting, or it means, you know, something more, broader. Anyways. So this seems to be an interesting discussion here too, because definitely Boaz said Shavu, and it was the context of the Birchas HaNisuin. And, the question is, what did he mean by it? Did he mean stay, you hang around, or did he mean sit? The Ber Hetev in Ebn Ezra, which I told you to look at, Simen Tzamach Beis Sif Katan Aleph, quotes the Knesset HaGedola, who was from where? Istanbul, right? Okay, nice. Thank you, Tamar, for that. So, anyways, he says that you must stand. Anybody have language? Go ahead. Can you imagine that? So everybody, not just the person saying, right? So this is an interesting thing because, as we'll see in a moment, I mean, maybe it should be mechalek between the ones under the chuppah and the other ones, right? Anyways, the Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Brachos Halacha Yud, uses what language? What?
Heim
Sha'amdu. Heim Sha'amdu. Bishas, although it's tricky a little bit, right? Jeremy, right? Because it's a little tricky. What is he referring to? The context is Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos, which we've been definitely making quite a fuss about as being different, right? But what he's really referring to when he said that is what? Jeremy? The interface, right? It's in Halacha Yud. Brachos Shemosifin. The medvar mamur shahoyah ha'ochlin hein sha'amdu the birchas nisuin the shamu abrachos avin mahi ochlin macherim shalom shamu, etc. So actually, even though the context here is shivas me'anishta, what he's really talking about is what took place under the chuppah. That the description of those who were under the chuppah is the people who were standing under the chuppah, right? And presumably, does he think that the people who are saying this bracha in the aftermath of Birchas Hamazon are standing? Presumably not. So maybe what you have here is another, excellent, remez or diuk for this point of the Rambam. Again, this is the point. This is where he's saying, listen, panim chadashos. But what he doesn't say, and I'm still not sure if he means, well, let's say two things. Number one, let me roll it back a little bit. So again, is this an expression or not? We just said that the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, when he talked about Leishah Basukkah, didn't think it was an expression. He took it very literally. That doesn't mean that when the Rambam says Omdim, he always means it literally. There's some discussion about this regarding, the Rambam Shita about Kriyas HaTorah. Whether or not you require Amida. The Rambam in Yad HaChazakas seems to mention Amida. The Rambam has a tshuva where he talks about Aseres HaDibros, where he says that we've spoken about it in the past, that people who don't stand generally in Kriyas HaTorah, they should sit for Aseres HaDibros as well, because Mishum Tarum Asaminim. But the Gemara says about why we don't call special attention to Aseres HaDibros and Tefillah, that applies also regarding standing. Fine. But the Rambam doesn't say there that you should sit or that you shouldn't stand during Kriyas HaTorah. It just says, again, the tshuva that was posed to him in Baghdad was the people normally sit and they're jumping up, with great alacrity for the Aseres HaDibros. Is that proper or not? And the Rambam says, no, if this is what they do. Right, so what does he mean? The Gemara in Sota uses the language of Amida when it talks about Kriyas HaTorah, and that's also gets written in the Rambam in Yad HaChazakah. So what does he really think there? So in theory, again, sometimes the language of Umdu means they did or they took care of. We sometimes find that, and so we have to be a little bit careful about extrapolating too much. But if the Rambam really means Amida here, and it does, it's a little bit gratuitous to say it here, so I think that it's very possible at least that he does mean it here. So it sounds like he's distinguishing between certainly Asher Bara, right, during Shuvos Me'Mishnah, and the full complement of Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah. What's a little less clear is, does the Rambam want you to jump up when you're saying all Sheva Brachos? Should everybody be, either the Mubarak or everybody else, be standing up and saying them, since now you're kind of reenacting, the Chuppah? That's not so clear. It's just not clear. He says mevarchin b'shvil n'achar birchas hamazon kederech shemevarchin b'shas nisuin v'hushiyah, etc. So does the kederech just mean the seven, or does it also mean the mode of standing? Right? Not clear. Again, what you might say is that even if the Rambam, it might be enough for the Rambam's diuk, to be limited to Perek Yud Hilchos, and not even, to the contingency here, of Panim Chadashos. Because, even though we've been explaining that, even if this is a Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe it's reenactment, or, and so on and so forth, and it's Bishvilam, and this is etc., the question is, in the end of the day, they are married, the Nisuin took place. It's still, not the Hagdara of the Chuppah here. So even if you require a Mida there, do you require a Mida here when you're reenacting, even for a group? Put it this way, it would be most sensational if the Rambam thought that you know, this is a special din in Tachas HaChuppah, and that the Kedera here means that when you repeat it here, you have to pop up, you have to jump up as well. Okay. Either way, you know, hard to know. It's hard to know. The Orchas Chaim, in his piece, when he talks about Birchas Nisuin, also says you require Amida, but he requires Amida even for Birchas Erusin. That's number one. And number two, his Amida has nothing to do with what we've been discussing. His Amida has to do with Chasan Adoma Lemelech, which is an interesting topic. You know, A, does it apply Bein Beirus and Bein Benesuin? Does it apply for Shivas and Amishta? You know, what is included under the requirements of Chasan Adoma Lemelech? But the Orchas Chaim, you know, connects it, you know, to that particular to that particular. What? Say that one more time.
Does he assume that the Chas himself is standing?
The Orchas Chaim?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, under the Chuppah for sure. I mean, the Chasan is standing under the Chuppah, isn't he?
Is that exactly clear?
He does or doesn't have to.
Not have
to stand up before other people. Yeah, Tashbeth has a long thing about all the consequences of that, right?
I mean, could it be that other people appear to stand and ask something
about it? Uh-huh. Well, he says even Birchas Erusin. I don't know, do we have it? It's the Orchas Chaim. It's page 16?
Lamed Gimel.
What?
Siman Yud Gimel?
It sounds like. I don't write the Siman down. I wrote
Oh, Siman Gimel, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't see.
What does he say?
No, I didn't see that line.
About the standing?
Yeah. Maybe I just missed it. It's a long list.
Okay. If somebody finds it, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because it's Margaret Shearer.
Say this one more time, a little slower? So it sounds like when he's walking, right? Right. But you see, as you see, he says Berchas Erusin, Berchas Nisuin, and it's Midin Chasan Dom Lamelech. But it sounds like when the Chasan is on the move, right? Even when he goes up for his bra. But it sounds like that's what he's emphasizing. Whenever he's moving, you have to stand up. So it sounds like if he says Birchas Erusin, Birchas Nisuin, that would seem to mean that he is standing during those times too.
No, we don't see when he's going up or when he's walking down the aisle.
So why does it say Birchas Erusin, Birchas Nisuin? You mean, and it's two different dinim? Either when he's walking or these other things? Say it one more time, slower. Yeah. So, if he gets an aliyah or Birchas Erusin or Birchas Nisuin, all those times he has to stand. I'm not 100% sure. Either way, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. This has nothing to do with the Yerushalmi and Megillah that a Dover Shabbatusha requires Amida. Right? It has to do with Chasim Dom Lamel. Yeah. He's saying that technically, but that's, well, first of all, what I was primarily interested in is he's criticizing the Rambam for being too literal about Leishay Basukah. Yeah, read the line in the Ravid. Right. And doesn't he say the language of Ikva? So the Mepharshim say language of Ikva. Meaning, yeah, but the point is the point of the Ravid is there's no pasuk in Chumash that says anything about eating in the sukkah. And therefore that the din of Leishe Basukka is about Achila.
It seems like the point is the opposite, that even though he's making an explanation that we defined himself to redefine yeshiva as a philo, he's still only saying that yeshiva is Allah and Shiva.
No. The point is that the yeshiva, there's no special yichud. This is true for Rabbeinu Tam as well, and that's why all the poskim had all these interesting cases. Meaning, the psukim say nothing about achila, and really the Gemara says very little about achila any more than it says about anything else. I mean, the sugya in the second parak of Sukkah speaks about tiul b'sukkah, you know, ochen shosin, yeshenin. It doesn't say anything about achila more than it says about anything else. So the point of both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, who will say the same thing here, is that achila became the symbol of spending quality, you know, time in the sukkah. So it isn't that achila, the real halacha is achila and yeshiva signifies achila. The real din, which is what the bracha is yeshiva. But instead of saying anything goes, which is what the view of the Rambam and later on the Gra and everybody else, meaning any quality thing you do in the sukkah, they thought that it had to be more objectively quantifiable, and that is a davar shel ikva, something which keeps you there and which is more.
Or that the yeshiva has to be shel ikva.
What?
It's just a condition in the yeshiva that the yeshiva has to have.
Right, but it doesn't mean sitting. That's the point.
No, it does. It just means sitting with permanence, which requires a chila.
It doesn't mean sitting. It means any. But what's the tiyul, right?
Well, the
rabbi
did the same thing about.
But no, the Gemara says about tiyul. You can't go with the Gemara either. Not necessarily for the bracha, but what meaning? If you understand the Gemara is saying, what do you do in the sukkah? It's all yeshiva b'sukkah, right? But it's ochlim, it's yeshenim, it's all these things. So the achila happens to be the one which is the most quantifiable, but the pashtus, it's not a yeshiva which is more specialized, it's that yeshiva here means ikva. That's how the... What's that?
You have the language.
Okay, what's the problem? Ke yeshiva ein el al das v'achila. Right. V'chol zman she'ena ochel ha'bracha over the mitzvah, he damas. Because it's not the yeshiva or the... It's not the physical yeshiva and it's not the physical achila. Yeah, if you were to eat in the sukkah and not sit, there's no question in my mind that arrived, you make the bracha. Absolutely. Just like for the, what that's what all the poskim say for the Balei Tov. Balei Tov say you need achil also. So the poskim say, and what happened, this is a famous argument between the Magen Avraham and the Taz in a few cases. Let's say you have two meals in the sukkah, one after the other, and you make a separate, I don't want to get into the sukkah right now, but You get involved, you make a bench, and then you wash again. Right? So that's a machlok between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. Or, what happens if you take a tainus, you have a tainus chalom, and that particular day you're not going to eat? Right? So many of the poskim say, because the achila is just a shiur in yeshiva basukah. The bracha, leisha basukah, captures the idea, but it isn't sitting, and it's not eating. It's an eating type sitting, namely it's teshvu ke'ein taduru. It's behaving as if this is where you live during this period of time. So that's expressed. Does that have to be al yedei yeshiva, and does it have to be al yedei achila? The answer is probably not. Just that these are the things that you do that really highlight, you know, that you're taking this. These are the things that you don't do on the fly or on the run, you do them in a makom kavua. So these are the kviyas things that you're doing. Pashtus, I think. Okay. Good. Okay. So now let's go back to Alman ve'Almana. Talked about yeshiva. The role of Birchatz Chasan in play, and yeah.
The din of
Amida
is Bitoras
Tfila. The din of Amida where? Tfila?
Tfila.
Why is it Tfila?
The Rashi Masovich says that the reason why you should face Israel after the Brahmas.
Okay.
Because Shakola Tfila Shana Misfala and Anu Abita Mekalasha.
Okay, that's very, very nice. But I don't think that means that it's that the Birchas Chasanim are the Amida. I mean, there's one answer. What? I don't think so. I mean, Okay. I mean, that's a very striking makar. I just don't think that that's... It's an additional dimension, maybe. But, I mean, you definitely don't get that impression in the Rambam or in the mainstream Rishonim that there's an Indian of... That it, the tefillah in the sense of Shemon Esrei, you don't get that impression. But, again, if you want to call, you know, Birchas Nisuin, you know, Davar Shebikdusha, and, you know, Amiras Dibrei Shevach, so the idea that you should be miskaven, you know, Mizrach or towards Yerushalayim, towards the Beis Hamikdash, that's also part of the kivun for Davar Shebikdusha. Makes sense. But the idea that Birchas Chasanim per se are tefillah is, I think, a very mechudash. Who said the Machzor Vitri? But he doesn't really say that. He just says, doesn't say that it's tefillah. He just says that you should be the kivun that you use should be Mizrach. Right. So he means tefillos in the, like, you know, like the. I wonder. Interesting. Maybe. Listen. Maybe Rashi really. Maybe that Machzor Vitri holds that way. It definitely doesn't. I'm not aware of like echoes of that. So again, Davar Shebikdusha, which is something a little bit close to that, but not the same. I'm not aware of other ones like that.
He even says in this piece that Mishar Kalabrako Shkino created the
Mahavishar. I mean that it's a tefillah?
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought there would be a different reason to be miskaven to. I'm aware of the shita that you should go looking towards Yerushalayim, that it does appear in other Rishonim, but I thought that's for a different reason. That yeah, because you have remember half of the brachos are zecher Yerushalayim, and not only because of it's number one the samechas and betalos kibone achas michurvos Yerushalayim, and of course you have all the imashkachech and the gemara in the end of Cheskes Sabbatim about Efer Makla. So I thought, yeah, we'll speak about that later, but also the whole Sos Tosis is based on that. And remember that the chasima of the sixth bracha, according to the Lechem Mishnah's Girsa, at least in Hilchos Brachos, is Misameach. How's it go? One second. Ooh. Oh, it's so late. Is what? Misameach. Misameach Amo Yisrael Ubone Yerushalayim. Misameach Amo Yisrael Ubone Yerushalayim. Which again, then the Lechem Mishnah says, I don't understand. It sounds like it's Ein Chosmin Bishtayim, right? So how is that Chosmin Bishtayim? Or it is Chosmin Bishtayim? Meaning Misameach Amo, that's what they try to explain. Misameach Amo Yisrael Bone Yerushalayim, and possibly even Misameach Chosmin Bekala. Is not two or three different chasimos, it's one chasima. Now again, this idea that Binyan Yerushalayim is part of the chasana, and it's not just, oh, you know, a little tempering of simcha with the tzara of Emeshkachech, in my opinion, is part of the tzibur idea, right? It's part of building Klal Yisrael. That's why Misaneh Chasan Bekala is kebone achas michorvos Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim in particular, because it's part also of the part of the theme of Yerushalayim as opposed to Eretz Yisrael and Binyan HaMikdash is the merging together of the individual and his, you know, ability to do things on a certain level together with the, you know, with the aspirations of the Tzibur. In other words, in some respects Yerushalayim, you know, is an overlap but also an independent theme between the Mikdash. And as part of something, maybe we'll discuss it later when we get Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, and Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that according to Lechem Mishnah, you have that Girsan, it's a substitute for Misameach Chasan Vekala, at least in Hilchos Brachos, which is also what we spoke about, right? The repeating of the text and also maybe some different chasimos, if the Girsos are not wrong. So I thought that though that was the reason that some people have the practice that the chuppah should be in the direction of Yerushalayim. That's part of this theme, both of building a nation, you know, by virtue of the individuals and then the units of a family, and also the tzibur component more generally. And therefore, you have that kibbutz. but I'm not aware, but thank you for bringing to my attention. So he's saying the Machzor Vitri sees it as a din in the tfilos, you're saying, of Sheva Brachos. Yeah? You see it anywhere else aside from that? No, that theme, I mean.
Yeah. It's okay. It's called Birchas Tfila V'Sheva.
Where?
Like the Yom Shel Shlomo and the Bach both quote Ran and Pesachim.
That's the Ran that they're talking about that you make it after. Because
right,
the Birchas Tfilos V'Sheva are always going to be after the.
Right.
That's the one in Zion.
Yeah. But he's calling it Tefillah v'Shevach. Uh-huh. You just emphasize Shevach more than Tefillah, but he's still called
okay.
It Tefillah.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm not aware of it, but it definitely fits in also nicely with what we're talking about. But yeah, but it's a bit of a different thing, I would say. It's different than the Hebrew Shalayim. Certainly it's different even than the Dabra Shebe Kedusha. Yeah, sorry?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
that's
good. Say again? Samech to Samach?
Yeah.
Could be, I don't remember the. Well, I mean, these are all tefillah. I mean, the word tefillah, oh, that were. I mean, again, tefillah as a.
It's like a
question, what
you're
saying. Yeah, I mean, tefillah or tachanunim or divrei shevach, you know, is one thing. To say this is a kiyum, this is tefillah, meaning, that's, I think, that you should require Mizrach because it's like Shmon Esrei is different than saying it's a tefillah or a tchina or a mizmor or a shebach. That I think is inconsequential. That's the verbs of the nouns that we use to signify, you know, this kind of a thing. To say, oh, you have to face in the direction of Yerushalayim because that's where you do the Amidas is that way too. Maybe so that does anybody say that that's the reason for Amida? No. Saying if you would your Machzor Vitri, look and see if the Machzor Vitri says you have to stand, does he?
At least over here.
What?
At least
no.
In this place, you know.
Okay, that's a lost opportunity. Because if you say you have to stand, like it's really that would be quite amazing. Okay. It's good enough. It's something to think about. Okay. But I don't think those what's the language in Samech Tzimach again? We'll discuss. Yeah, it's here on the altar. I know that I don't think is that I think is pushing it too far. Okay. Okay. Let me say a couple words about this because I don't want to get too far behind. Okay. So let's talk about back to Almon v'Almona for a minute. So firstly, it's interesting to note. Let me just do the beginning part of it, and that is that the Gemara thought that maybe Almon shenas Almona that there would be no bracha at all. Correct. Again, it's always hard to know, you know, how much credence to give to Havaminas, and sometimes you have to use your instinct whether or not a particular Havamina is just part of the Shakla Vitaria to get you to where you need to go, or you can really, as I call it, you know, freeze frame it and it might have echoes and significance. It's a little hard here too, but it does seem a little bit that the Gemara thought that Almon Shenas Almona, there was no bracha, right? Right? The Gemara says, Achas Psula Achas Almona to Una Bracha. And then the Gemara says, Yumi Om Rabuna Hachi, Om Rabuna Almona Eina to Una Bracha. Right? The Almon Shenas Almona lo? And the Gemara persists with it until they finally come up with the idea that there's at least one day of brachos. So to me, the idea that the Gemara took seriously for a little while, and it wasn't just like an excuse to get to where they wanted to go, that Almon Shenas Almona would have no bracha whatsoever, is something that is a little bit significant. And I think it's a good way to set up the question that we've been discussing, which is, obviously, Almon Shenas Almona, there is a nisuin. So if birchas nisuin was part of the hagdara, let's say, of cheftza shel nisuin, even if it wasn't ma'akev, it would be very hard to understand it that way. If there was a mitzvah still for an almon v'almona, which we also usually think is the case, right? It's not just a mitzvah. Again, I'm not talking about the rush, but for those who shown him would think that kiddushin is a mitzvah, and that you know the bracha that you make in erusin is a birchas hamitzvah. No one says that alman shenas almana is no birchas hamitzvah, no birchas erusin. So assuming that there is a mitzvah, and certainly there's a chetza shel nesuin, assuming that the bracha is related to the matir of a new ishus, again, that has nothing to do with bachar basula particularly. So this is a very important havamina, because it basically says that almon v'almana, right, will establish that it's not a berachas mitzvah, it's not a matir, it's not part of the hagdara of the nisuin. What is it then? Presumably some sort of expression of shevach and simcha. And the assumption of the Gemara was that, you know, almana, or at least almon shenas almana, doesn't have enough of that, you know, to justify this requirement. So I would say, freeze frame, the Gemara's perspective on birchas nisuin is a very limited one. The question is, you know, then the Gemara emphatically rejects that, and then you can go two ways with it, right? One is that in Akhanami, the Gemara never changed its mind about what birchas nisuin is. They just think that you're downplaying too much, you know, the element of shevach and simcha. That if two people find each other, even if they both had a rocky road to get there, or an unhappy experiences along the way, or less than idyllic circumstances along the way, there's still bircha, there's still simcha, and there's still shevach v'hoda, and that should require a bracha. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Or is the Gemara basically saying, no, in Achanami, if we were interested in shevach and simcha, we would have stuck with our guns, that there was no such thing in Almon v'Almana. But what we're really talking about is, for the Beis Yosef, a Birchas HaMitzvah, for the Ran, well, okay, it's still Shevach and Hoda and Simcha, but for the Rambam, let's say, if I'm right, a Hagdara, part of the Akiyum, in the Cheftza of the Chuppah itself, and so on, or a Matir, according to some, those are shown who think that Kalabla Bracha Asur L'Bala Kenida, and that's what Birchas Nisuin are. You need that in Almon V'Almana just as much as anybody else, because there's no heter without it. So this is the question. Okay? The idea that, Almon V'Almana, might not have needed a bracha, is not only consequential in trying to pin down what the nature of the Chiyuv Bracha is, but even may have an echo limaskana. What do I mean by that? How would it have an echo limaskana? Yeah?
Yeah,
if indeed that's already the next step, correct, but just before we say that, that's exactly where we're going, meaning if indeed lahalacha almon v'almana's bracha or their chiyuv bracha was atypical, right? And if that was reflected, in some of the dina. So then what we'd be saying was, there is a bracha, but it's spelled a special din in Alman V'Alman. So, for example, one, something that Hanan mentioned the other day, possibly, or he didn't possibly mention, he mentioned it, its relevance is possibly, depending on how you interpret, namely, the idea of the Yerushalmi, right? The different Perushim and the Yerushalmi one. There may not even be a day of Mishnah, there may be only under the Chuppah. Right. And partially, it might be that the way to read the Yerushalmi is that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana for regular marriages, and there's a separate takana for this marriage, depending on how you read the Yerushalmi, right?
And it seems like Moshe, what he did with the Torah was untouched by anything.
I mean, he just made Shiva Samea Nishta.
I mean, Lo Tikva Mamana Klum, it doesn't say that they're Masake and anything. It just says, nevertheless, this is the reality that exists. There still is a bracha for Almana.
Okay. So basically, what I'm saying is there are different ways, if you look at the different Farshim of the Yerushalmi, the question is whether, Almon V'Almana at least, if not Almana in general, isn't something different. That's one. Number two, what Itamar was referring to, which is, who has the view that there's a different bracha? Orchis Chaim, What is that bracha? Yeah, that's why I gave you the Orchas Chaim. That's the Orchas Chaim. Kobo's the Kitzur Orchas Chaim, but that's the Orchas Chaim, that one of them that I wanted you to look at. And also in the Otzar Gaonim, there's one, right? Or is it the same? Otzar Gaonim has, I think, a view also that maybe you should also only say Asher Bara. Where's that? Lamed Aleph? Ushish Altim, Sheva Brachos Tekala. The Ismi Ravasa, the Amri, the Hala Almon, the Alman, the Lomavarchi, Sheva Brachos. Right? Hachi Huvalo Yitzdrich, Mad the Amris, the Atan Amri, Beloshin Kovit, Lavishim Kovit, Almavarchim Beloshin Kovit, Kaminai, Mayi Asher Bara, Sosam, Simcha, Kasan, Vakule. The Kolon, the Psuke, the Kabrichu, the Boaz, Verus, the Yamakal Amr, the Shabashar, Yitan Hashem, the Saisha, the Sameh, Kasan, the Kalaba, Hodilachem, Kito, Kiliol Abchazdo. Okay, so I think there are two versions of this. The Rashba is a tshuva, Chelik Aleph Simin Aleph Kufayin Hei, it's quoted in the footnotes here, or Chelik Zayin Simin Kufzadi. Shekasavta shematzasa ba'osa sidur sheyesh hefresh rebirchas nisuin bein alma shenasa almana lebachor shenasa besula. The alman shenasa almana bracha achas bilvad mi bracha shebirchu az kenim leboaz. Lo shamati me'olam v'lo reisi le'echor min ha'mechabrim shekasu kenim. Okay. In the Orchas Chaim, he has a quote here also, the page 69 in the Kobo Siminayin Hey. Hamatrichem ateras simchas bateras boa. That's the one you were describing. Matzliach ish v'isha. So basically, there are two or three different versions of what this would be. Okay, the details are not so important for us right now. Either only Asher Bara, but never the seven, right? Assuming that the seven is the norm, unlike the Rambam. Or some other bracha. That would be sensational. Okay. Again, Yerushalmi, what we mentioned, that there might be a difference. And also Miri has a lot. Miri says that the obligation of a bachur to be mesameach, the almana is different than a almon. They both have a chiyuv, but they're different chiyuvim. Interesting. So what's implied by this is two things. Number one, there's a chalos of nisue almon v'almana, at least with regard to the level of simcha and bracha. You wonder whether, with regard to more things, and we'll see that soon, about in the more mainstream things in terms of bracha v'simcha. So just to take a step back for a second, I'm going to stop in 30 seconds, but one should compare almon v'amona here with machzor grushasa. Okay, we talked about machzor grushasa when we did birchas Eirusin. It's an interesting parallel, right? Machzor grushasa is, when they lapse back into the same marriage, as long as there was no intervening marriage. So, in terms of what we know in the sugya, the Mishnah in Moed Katan tells us that there's an afkamina regarding the problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Right? If you normally believe Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha and there's a problem of Nisuin B'Moed, there's no such problem with Machzor Grushasa. So you could have said, and you could say, yeah, L'maisa, in terms of Simcha Sagabra, maybe even Chetzah shel Simcha, right? Depending on what you think is koveya for Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So renewing the old marriage or relapsing into it is different. But will you say anything more substantive than that? Are you going to say, with Machzor Grushasa, you also have the option of thinking that either you're resuming the marriage, or even more so, right? And it's not the second marriage to the same people, it's a resumption of the marriage, repeat of the marriage, or maybe even a resumption of the marriage, meaning lapsing back into the old marriage on some level, in the sense that it's almost like you're canceling the get. There are some indications of that in different makoros. In terms of issues that we saw already, the discussions in the Gonim regarding both Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nisuin. That maybe, and whether you should be Mechalik between them, that's what we talked about earlier in the year. Right? If there's no Birchas Nisuin because of the special status of Masu Gushasa, would that also affect Birchas Erusin? Part of that list of the relationship between Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nisuin. Okay? So of course, when it comes to Machzor Gushaso, there it's easy to say, even the Chetzah Shel Ishus is different. Because they say, maybe it's a resumption or at least a repetition. You can't say that in Almon V'Almona because you're dealing with different people. But what you might say is in terms of the level of Simcha, or even though there is, it's not a resumption, it's not a repetition, but maybe, you know, it's a different kind of Chafsa Shalishos. Not in terms of Eishas Ish, but in terms of the, at least, the Nisuin and the level of Simcha, and so on. And that would affect some of these issues. Now, if that's true, so then you wonder whether or not that might not also continue to echo, even beyond how many brachos or what the token of the bracha is. Maybe that's part of the story of Almon v'Almana, or maybe even Almon Shanasa Bachura, or Bachur Shanasa Almana, meaning is there, when we talk about what happens at each of these things, you know, should we be looking at the individual Mechaivim and the individual people involved, right? Say, oh, what does the Gemara is going to distinguish between Simcha and Bracha. What depends on which? Right? And that's what we have to pin down. We'll start with this tomorrow. Try to do a quick job on it. Or maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. There are two approaches in the whole sugya. Right? One is to say, what depends on the chasson, what depends on the kala, you know, and what are the chasson and kala's situation? Also a little tricky. Right? Does it depend on them or their reaction to their marriage partner? Right? That's where the Ran comes in. Ron has an interesting chiddush. But, you know, the way we're looking at it is, you know, to figure out the individual mechayim. Maybe that's the wrong way to do it. Maybe the real way to look at it is the way some Rishonim formulate it, right? And that is that it depends on the marriage. That's just like there's something called Machzor Grushaso, and just like there may be something called Almon V'Almana, maybe even when it's Almana, you know, and a first-time husband, or an almon and a first-time bride, or maybe only when it's almon the almana, maybe it's then in the zivug, in the chafta shalishus. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Well, they are both ishu isha, right, but 100%. And also you're emphasizing the matzliach part. I mean, it's a different set of, you could philosophically explain that, you know, which is true of Masa Grishasa too, that in a sense, right, there's a different set of challenges, you know, for an almana and almana, you know, for Masa Grishasa, for Bachor and almana, and for almon and besula. So it might be that it's a different challenge in the, certainly the Birchas HaNisuin may reflect that. Right, we talked about, let's say, Tirdas, you know, Hachasan, you know, and the impact on Kriya Shema and so on. Right? That's just like a practical thing. But the practical thing is symbolic of other things, meaning, you know, there are challenges in every marriage. Sometimes the challenge is the fact that the people are novices and they don't know what to expect, or they're too idealistic, or they have no experience. Other times they have too much experience or bad experiences, or like the Gemara says in the end of Psachim, you know, they're haunted by you know, previous expectations or souring or in some cases ideals, right? The difference between a grusha and almana in that respect. So these might be reflected. I think these are the two approaches that we're going to look at. Is everything broken down by mechayvim, you know, or the mechayvim of one, the mechayv of each one, or is it a din in the types of ishus, which is very, to me, inspirational. The halachas really zeroes in, you know, even on those differences to try to make more relevant, if you will, the issues or the ceremonies surrounding the issues of it. So let's talk about all of that tomorrow, and then go on to Asher Bara and Shasimcha Bimo.
Is there any parallel?
So I didn't catch our
what
you're trying to say?
What?
What you're trying to say?
No, it's not.